When everything seems hidden and God feels distant, is he actually absent? Or is he patiently calling for repentance, refusing to leave or forsake his people? Where might hearts, churches, or nations today echo ancient Israel, hiding sin, excusing idolatry, or giving up hope, thinking God neither sees nor cares? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you're having a great day. Today is Old Testament Tuesday. I've been asked, why do we do Old Testament Tuesday? And the answer is very, very simple. We know that in the New Testament and the Old Testament, God is presented as Almighty God. And so we don't want to bias everything to one direction or the other. So we take Tuesdays and we focus on some Old Testament. We've been working through the book of Ezekiel, and we're in Ezekiel chapter 8. Hey, if you still haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or comment, I want to encourage you to do that right now. It really does help the algorithms to grow the channel. Share this with a friend. Get them involved in daily jumping into the Word of God. Also, if you are a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, I want to say a great big thank you for being a financial partner. So let's dive into Ezekiel chapter 8. Here's two questions to get us started. And it's a little bit different of a chapter, so you may not have read this before, and it maybe just stretches your mind just a little bit. It says, do you think the Lord does not see you? That's question number one. And do you think the Lord has forsaken you? Let's ask those two questions. Does God see me today as I drive into work, as I'm showing up into that office place, and or has God forsaken me? So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. It says, It came about on the sixth year of the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house with the elders. Look at that. He's sitting in his house in exile, and he's sitting with the elders of Judah, sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell on me there. Could you imagine being Ezekiel? You're just sitting in your house. You're up in Babylon. You're hanging out in exile, and you're sitting with elders, and the hand of the Lord falls upon you. So then it says, then I looked, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of a man. From his loins and downward, there was the appearance of fire, and from his loins and upward, the appearance of brightness, like the appearing of glowing metal. I love this about Ezekiel because he tells us when something is like something versus something is something. He's trying to take something he's seen in the spirit realm when God laid his hands on him and put words to it that we would be able to understand. And so it's something like this and something like that, and he's describing it. And so he says, he stretched out the form of a hand and caught me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem. So we're seeing that Ezekiel is having a vision of Jerusalem. Now, where is he at? He's physically in Babylon. He's in exile. And God brought him up to this place and he saw this. It's to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. So he's taken to a specific place and in Jerusalem and in the inner court, and he's there. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was there, like the appearance which I saw in the plain. So he says, remember back to chapter 1? Remember back to where I was in the plain before this? He goes, it was like that. Then he said to me, son of man, raise your eyes now towards the north. So I raised my eyes towards the north, and behold, to the north of the altar gate was the idol of jealousy at the entrance. What is this idol of jealousy thing? Let's see if we can find out. And he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel are committing here, so that I would be far from my sanctuary. But you will see still greater abominations. I love this. He goes to Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, you need to see what they're doing here. Their abominations are horrendous here. But there's even greater things. Then he brought me to the entrance of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And he said to me, son of man, now dig through the wall. So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations they are committing here. So I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping things and beasts and detestable things with all the idols of the house of Israel were carved on the wall all around. Standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel. Now remember, Ezekiel is in Babylon. He's sitting in his house, and he's with the those of Judah, the elders of Judah, and here he said he's having this vision. Can you imagine that? So he entered and looked, and it says there was these detestable things with all the idols of the house of Israel. Israel had given themselves over to idolatry. Standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel. Remember, Israel, Judah, with Jehozadak, the son of Shaphan, standing among them. I probably just butchered those. Doesn't matter. Keep going. Each man with his censer in his hand and the fragrance of the cloud of incense rising. Then he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark?" Now, it's interesting because this is a vision between earth and heaven, and he was taken into that spirit realm of Jerusalem, and he's seeing a vision of something, and it's the things that they're committing in the dark. Now, this could be physical darkness, but it also could be the darkness of their minds. We don't know exactly. Each man in the room of his carved images, for they say, "The Lord does not see us." This is what the elders of Israel were saying. The Lord has forsaken us. Two things. The Lord doesn't see us, and the Lord has forsaken us. Now, I bring this up because unless we're very prideful, it can be very simple for us to have these same attitudes as the elders of Israel. You say, "Well, I'm a born-again, blood-bought Christian. I have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know God sees things. I know God hasn't forsaken me." But then we oftentimes in our idol worship, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's anger, maybe it's frustration, maybe it's greed, maybe it's whatever form of idolatry. We say, "Well, God can't see this. He's left me. He's not here. I'll just take care of this. I need this pleasure myself right now." And we justify. We pretend as if God doesn't see our sinfulness, whether that be in our mind, if in the darkness of each of the rooms of the carved images, or that be in reality. We oftentimes do these very things. And he said to me, "Yet you will see even greater abominations which they are committing." So Israel, who was forewarned by God, I don't know how many times in the Old Testament, that if you do this, you're going to go to exile. If you do this, you're going to get held in captivity. If you do this, you're going to have that effect. God forewarned and forewarned and forewarned for hundreds of years. And then finally, God's like, "Enough. These abominations are enough." Now, why do we want to learn from Israel? It's because they're like our older brother. They are chosen of God. They are precious in God's sight. They are loved by God. But let me remind you what Paul says in the book of Romans, that if we are grafted in as believers in Jesus Christ, and God was not afraid to take parts of Israel out who dishonored him, but keep a remnant together of the Jews that would honor him. He's not afraid to prune those who dishonor him. And so how much more is he not afraid to do that for us? Then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Now, this is a false god, false worship. And he said to me, "Do you see the Son of Man? Yet you will see still greater abominations than these." He says, so here they are. They're saying God doesn't see it. God's forsaken us. Let's worship false gods. Is this sounding like America today? I just want to tell you, have you ever thought the Church of America is doing these exact same things? Then he brought me into the inner court of that Lord's house. And behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord's, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east. And they were prostrating themselves eastward towards the sun. They're worshiping sun gods, false, false gods. Does God see it? Has God forsaken us? So he said to me, "Do you see this, Son of Man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they have committed here, that they have filled the land with violence and provoked me repeatedly? For behold, they are putting the twig to their nose." So some have said, it's like putting their nose up. It's like, you know, kind of like giving their finger to God. They're saying, ah, snubbing God. We can get away. You don't see anything. You've forsaken us. Therefore, indeed, I will deal in wrath. My eye will have no pity, nor will I spare. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I will not listen to them. And what we see in this Bible verse is there is an end to God's mercy. He says, I've had enough. Now they're going to experience wrath. I've tried. But our two questions today is, does God see and has God forsaken us? Because you're going to show up at a workplace today and there's going to be trials, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be frustrations, there's going to be everything coming in around you. And the question is, does God see? The eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil and the good. God sees you today. And it says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? Jeremiah 23:24. God sees everything. He has not left you or forsaken you. Job, for he who looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. God sees it all. Please, 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 please do not give up on God and think you can hide your sin from Almighty God or that God has abandoned you, so you got to take it into your own hands. Be a man or woman of faith today. Stand for righteousness and justice in the public square. God wants to use you mightily. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God is with you. He's not going to forsake you. You are not an orphan. He's given you the power of the Holy Spirit as a pledge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. So what's our public square application for today? You're going to run into some conflicts today. You're going to run into some tensions today. It's going to be easy to run to your idols of addiction, to run to your idols of worry, to run to your idols of flattery, whatever it might be. But are you going to run to God, knowing that he sees and he has not abandoned you? Remember, the very end of that, God says, hey, once you put your nose up at me, once you've walked away from me, that there is a point where God says enough is enough. Now, we never know when that line is. And if you are hearing my voice, you probably haven't crossed that line because God's still drawing you to the cross. Repentance. Today is the day of repentance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do need you. God, we recognize that your presence is with us wherever we go, that you see each and every aspect of our day, the good and the evil. God, we commit this day to you to be honoring you and pleasing you and lifting up the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.